Today's episode is brought to you by our company, Sales Schema. Sales Schema helps agencies and B2B service companies build a reliable business development system through tasteful and targeted outreach. To learn more about us and check out our latest video training, go to salesschema.com/takecharge. So if you missed the previous episodes, I am giving away my book, Relationship Sales at Scale, the audio version that is, over the next few weeks. I've already gotten through parts 1 of 3, and today I'm going to give you part 4 for free. Again, all of these episodes in this video right now or in your podcast stream are going to be available for a limited time over just another 2 or so weeks now. Part 4 really matters because it is about answering the who question. So much of everything we do tactically in business, we are often just by default, at least if I'm speaking for myself anyway, starting by answering what questions, what channel should we use, what approach should we use, what strategy. And as books like The Who Method and others argue, it's really more important to start with who is going to be doing this. Because even when we are working with large organizations, large agencies and B2B service companies, the sales teams are often very small. Maybe it's just an owner, or maybe it's 1 or 2 or maybe 3 people at most in many of these organizations. So it's really important to think about who's going to be doing what. And the issue is the way that it's been prescribed to handle sales is often slightly wrong, if not very wrong, when it comes to a long-term B2B consultative sales process. And it tends to go wrong in a couple different ways. The first is it's prescribed that you have a lone wolf, or like one salesperson that does everything, which is kind of crazy because it requires division of duties, just like in a family, it kind of takes a village. Whatever metaphor you want to put on there, you need different people doing different things, teeing up meetings versus closing deals and so on. Otherwise, one person is going to be stretched in terms of time, energy, and expertise. Beyond that, maybe you're with me so far and you've read other books that talk about how to kind of structure the right sales pod and so on. This needs some major reconnoitering when it comes to B2B consultative sales. And that's because you don't have a shiny object product to sell necessarily. The results and the sorts of value that you're giving people is more ephemeral. People have to work with you first. And really, per the name consultative sales, they need to be getting value on that first call, right? So if you do something like put a wet behind the ears business development rep, like somebody right out of college, on that first call, that's not going to work. But also, if you as an owner are the one that has to be on every call forever, that also doesn't work. So in part 4 of Relationship Sales at Scale, you are going to get the right archetype for the ideal 21st century sales team for B2B consultative sales. Again, if you have missed the previous 3 sections, you can get those below for a limited time. Or if you'd prefer to get the book in its entirety in whatever format you'd prefer, be it Kindle or paperback or the audiobook in its entirety, you can do that by scrolling through and clicking through to the Amazon link. And be sure to stay tuned for next week when we are going to be dripping out the 5th and final chapter of the book. Thanks so much. Welcome to the Digital Agency Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Englander. Part 4, the 21st century sales team. The only way any of the strategies in this book grow legs and run is if they get the right attention and motivation from your team. While systems, processes, and batching can help, people are the foundation for just about everything. In this chapter, we will cover the right roles and responsibilities for an effective sales team, even if your company is small or you're on your own. In many organizations, even large ones with massive fulfillment teams, we often find one Herculean executive trying to do almost everything. The lone wolf executive. A few things that they do: conduct outreach, sets appointments, qualifies prospects, attends trade shows, crafts proposals, conducts presentations, handles negotiations, manages client relationships, presents upsells and cross-sells, puts out fires, stares at the ceiling fan at 3 a.m. doused in a cold sweat. There are lots of problems with biting off more than you can chew, but when it comes to long sales cycles, which require time and consistency, small issues throw the train off the tracks. A response to the overwhelm, often combined with a distaste for sales work, the owner or executive seeks to jump out of the sales seat by hiring someone else to handle it. They conduct interviews, and lo and behold, a number of candidates are good at selling themselves. They're salespeople, after all. The company lands on a charming and experienced veteran who talks big about his Rolodex. They onboard him and give him proposal templates and portfolio examples, as well as a short list of prospects the leadership knows from previous years of networking. Good luck, they say, as they send him off into the cold. Warm conversations are had, and there is a lot of busy-looking activity. 1 month becomes three, becomes nine, and there's no closed business. The enthusiasm wanes, there are come-to-Jesus talks, and eventually the salesperson is given his walking papers after lots of time, money, and heartache. I wish I could say that this provided a one-time lesson, but we've seen the cycle continue, and we hear this often. We hired five salespeople in the past decade, and they all failed. In response to these experiences, the leadership often swerves in one of two directions. A, they fail to take responsibility, assuming they got unlucky and made bad hires. B, they assume that no one but the owners can sell. They say, sure, other businesses can train salespeople, but we are special snowflakes. All of our prospects want to talk to me and only me. Both swerves are wrong. A is wrong because the leadership has yet to nail the right team structure and systems, as we will cover. B is wrong because countless complex service businesses manage to build and scale sales teams. Just look at your local downtown skyline of skyscrapers, housing successful ad agencies, consultancies, accounting firms, law offices, and IT practices. Why are you so special? What's actually happening is that salespeople fail because the company hires a driver before they have the car. This car is your system for teeing up new prospect relationships. If your business is built mostly on sporadic referrals, you might not have that car yet. And the truth, which you might not want to hear, is that you will need to stay in the closer seat for a while longer. While building these processes and hiring the right people can be challenging, and these things will take time, the good news is that the rewards are massive. You will build a system for growth that runs mostly without you. Instead of roaming around like a stressed out lone wolf, the rest of this section will show you how to set up the right division of duties, just like you might have in your fulfillment process. Rethinking the traditional sales team. With that in mind, here is the classic sales team popularized in the last couple of decades. Role 1, Business Development Representative, or BDR. Some things they do: conduct outreach, set appointments, qualify prospects, their KPI, qualified appointments. Account Executive, or AE. This is the closer. Some things they do: they build relationships, craft proposals, conduct presentations, and their KPI, close business. Account Manager, or AM. Few things that they do: manage client relationships, present upsells and cross-sells, and their KPI is retention. This team setup works for many organizations, but it doesn't go far enough to explain what's needed behind the scenes nowadays to tee up worthwhile meetings with those most aware prospects. The problem is that in skeptical markets, so much of the battle happens at top of funnel, which is the BDR's turf. The well-funded companies that popularized this classic team structure took for granted the marketing firepower and less skeptical markets they enjoyed. When the squad was popularized, it was much easier for one lowly BDR to blast out messages and land dozens of new relationships with minimal effort. One newbie salesperson really could win the day. But in recent years, due to stiff competition writ large for attention and business, the BDR's mission got harder. And instead of one wet-behind-the-ears salesperson, it takes a village. Getting skeptical prospects to put up their hands is best done through distinct campaigns, not an over-automated machine. And the main obstacle is that it's difficult to find all of the skills needed to do this in one person, especially a junior hire. And even if you do, time and energy are limiting factors. The effective complex service sales team. With all this in mind, here's how to slightly restructure the classic team. Role 1. The behind-the-scenes outreach squad builds and runs campaigns, including strategy, operations, and hustle. Their KPI, right-fit appointments. Number 2, the face of the campaign. This is the facilitator, typically a senior executive likely to get more and better meetings. This might be the closer or a different person. Role 3, the closer, the meeting stage persuader and point person. Their KPI, close business. Role 4, account manager. Manages client relationships, their KPI, retention. Let's dig into each role. Role 1, the behind-the-scenes outreach squad. This is your top-of-funnel team, and at Sales Schema, we provide this squad for clients. To ensure the campaigns are executed consistently, we need to deconstruct the traditional BDR role into 3 task buckets as follows. Bucket 1, strategy. This includes crafting campaigns, identifying right-fit accounts, coming up with commonalities, and writing persuasive copy. This is an area we see delegated too quickly, and early on, it's important that someone with copywriting skills and deep knowledge of your industry handles it. Your closer and/or the face of the campaign might double into this role by wearing multiple hats. Role 2, operations. This includes data scraping, list purchases, delegating tasks to list builders, handling software, dealing with deliverability issues, and other technical things. This can be filled by an IT person or a similar technical role, but it will require QC and oversight from your closer. Role 3, the hustler. This is where the follow-up game and persistence at the meeting agreement stage happens so you can get prospects to stick to your calendar. This person should be ready to pick up the phone, and an executive assistant with basic sales chops can often fill this role. But what if I'm selling in a small company or I'm solo? Don't worry, this is the situation the structure is built for. As you might expect, you will have to wear multiple hats, but dividing up your time along the lines of these roles will make you more effective. Make sure to schedule your time according to uninterrupted blocks based on each bucket, with the goal of avoiding task switching costs. That way, you can build a reliable assembly line and keep the pipeline full no matter what outside fires flare up. For example, if you're one person doing everything, you might have to develop strategic split personality disorder so that tinkering with sales software doesn't pull you away from, say, copywriting. During your assigned strategy block, everything else drops below your pay grade, for example. Scheduling is deeply personal, but here's what you and/or your sales team's calendar might look like. To actually see this graphic, because it's hard to describe in audio, you can get that by going to salesschema.com/audible. Role 2, the face of the campaign. The face should be the highest ranking person who is willing to show up on introductory calls. Your closer could inhabit this role, or this could be a higher level executive. When senior people reach out, they get more and better meetings, and the Rolodexes from which to build campaigns are much larger. Remember the mutual connection campaign from earlier in the book? Imagine the unearthed gold in the extended Rolodex of a 20-year industry veteran versus a recent sales hire. Before you hem and haw about asking your VP or CEO to take part in your sales efforts, keep in mind that your campaigns will pre-select for senior people in specific targeted accounts, so this is usually time well invested for your executives. Your face will act as facilitator, simply building the connection during a short video call, and then from there, your closer will grab the baton and do the bulk of the sales work once that connection is made. Ultimately, if it's impossible to enlist upstairs help, you might consider giving your closer a higher level title so she can convince more and better prospects to build relationships with your company. Role 3, the closer. As in the traditional sales team, your closer, often with a title like account executive or head of new business, is the one building relationships, presenting outlines and proposals, and closing deals. Closers should be well incentivized based on big potential upside and easy to understand commission structures. At a bare minimum, your closer should be able to devote 50% of her time to high-level sales work, like building relationships and selling the vision, and this time is sacred. She is never pulled in different directions by clients or admin demands. Role 4, account manager or AM. Your AM manages client relationships and presents upsells and cross-sells, and they are incentivized to retain clients. I wrote a whole other book on this role, Mastering Account Management, so that topic is beyond scope for now. But for our purposes, the important thing is that you build new business systems that are consistent and live independently of, though not unconnected from, client services. If your team is small and you're ping-ponging back and forth between prospects and clients, the order of operations matters, and the first priority is hiring and delegating for client work, not fulfilling new sales roles. As we covered, make sure you have a finely tuned car before you hire the drivers. Thank you for listening to this section of my book, Relationship Sales at Scale. This and the next subsequent sections are going to be dripped out each week over the next however many weeks we have left, and they'll be available for a limited time. Or if you'd like to get access to the Audible version in its entirety or whatever format you prefer, you can do that by clicking below on the Amazon link. Thanks so much, and stay tuned next week for the next section. Thanks for listening to this episode. Again, today's episode is sponsored by our company, Sales Schema. Sales Schema helps agencies and B2B service companies build a reliable business development system through tasteful and targeted outreach. To learn more about us and check out our latest video training, again, you can go to salesschema.com/take charge. Again, that's salesschema.com/take charge.